You send signal, you listen for an echo. At the first splinters, you run to tell Geppetto. And in the worst winters, the whole thing feels untenable. Crow took me by the shoulder and he told me, honey, don't let go.
Nobody feels how you all just feel before.
To the end.
Chapter 3, Day 10. You wake to a thumping noise. Dave going, ow. You don't want to be awake. You're warm and nice and cuddly safe. But this sounds just too suspicious. Your eyes crack open. Bro's face is about 10 inches away from your own. He stares. You stare back. You hate how you don't sleep in your shades, even though sleeping in shades is stupid and a great way to get them broken, and anyway, eye shades need to recharge too. He can see your naked face, which is even more embarrassing than if you were actually naked. Well, fuck. Looks like he's not going to take no for an answer today. He tilts his head a little. You cringe. Brace yourself.
Cute.
The fuck? You blink. Your hand twitches to grab the covers and pull them up on pure reflex. And oh hey, you're stuck. You look down. You seem to have sprouted a growth in the form of a troll. Carcat has a leg draped across your groin and then folded back somehow under your knee. His arms are curled against his chest between the two of you, with the wrists folded praying mantis style, and his head is craned at an uncomfortable angle in the crook of your shoulder. Now that you're thinking about it, something hard, horn, is digging into your flesh a bit. You are going to explode into pins and needles the second he's off you.
Out of consideration for our guest and his pet murder clown, you get 5 minutes to extricate yourself, and then I'm dragging you out of bed and up the stairs by the ankle.
Dave follows Bro out, snickering sleepily in his hand. Asshole. You let your head flop back on the pillow and vaguely consider going right back to sleep. Because it's actually pretty warm in here, thanks. Barring the impending pins and needles. You only got one hand left. Don't want it falling off.
Hey, dude.
No reaction. You bounce your shoulder some. His nose wrinkles a little, and then he winds his leg tighter around yours. You don't know if you should feel grateful or not when you realize his thigh is the only thing that saved Bro's eyes from having to behold your morning wood. His warm, bare, soft thigh, grinding slowly across your beef bayonet. You're still wearing boxers, so that's at least one single thin cottony layer. But his briefs have pretty wide legs, and this one's all bunched up and, shit. Definitely can't say if this is something to be grateful for at all. Likely you shouldn't be wondering at all. He's asleep, and used to sleeping on his platonic cuddle bro, who probably doesn't pop wood at his vulnerable and trusting form. It just feels nice, okay? Like, really nice. Yes, proceed, nice. Okay, time not to be a sleaze. You slow down your breathing to the best of your abilities. Bounce your shoulder again, making his head roll. Dude, wake up, you're on my arm. You can't feel your hand, and the angle is weird. Makes grabbing for his shirt collar and tugging him back pretty much impossible. I only have one fucking arm, and you're on it. And I really need to, scratch my balls, and you're getting in the way of that something hardcore. Not cool, Vantis. Seriously not cool. He wrinkles his nose again. If he thinks playing it cute will help, and if you get snot on my shirt, I swear to God.
Let me sleep. Nice sleep. One more.
He bats your chest blindly. With claws.
Ow. Nice pile. Sleep. Shush.
It's not a pile, ass muffin. It's my chiseled pectorals. A red-flecked eye cracks open. Blink, blink. His nose is to your chin. He leans back a little.
Oh, sorry.
No prob. You hurry to sit up, bringing up your knees to camouflage your inconvenient hard-on. Your arm is dead, prickling weight. You shake it, teeth clenched as blood rushes back in. He frees you, flops on his other side. Your crotch cannon is cold. He feels around, steals your pillow, bunches it up weird, and drapes his chest on it. Face down, so that his head and his hips are hanging off it in the most uncomfortable way possible. You pause briefly in the middle of crawling to the foot of the bed for escape to stare. Completely ridiculous! Eventually, you stand on the floor. Freedom and victory! Your little sailor is still hoisting the flag.
Blech.
Okay. Shades on your face. You've just got to grab your jeans and shoes. Arg, tingling arm. Arg, bending over. And then tiptoe to the cracked open door.
Dave, Sprite, Bird?
Oh, fuck, he saw you. Wait, no. Are his eyes open? No, but they could be. Crotch level is totally an awesome place to hold jeans at.
Yep. It's too soft.
You hesitate. Think, oh, fuck it. Drop your clothes and shoes on the turntable. And go, crotch sword brazenly exposed, to tuck an old keyboard under his cheek. He's out like a light in about 2 seconds. You feel like a master ninja for the next 2 seconds, floating on the awesome of your impossible escape. And then you close the door behind you and run face first into Bro's waiting chest.
Your bruises have bruises.
Bro had you using the back of your katana blade. You have managed not to cut yourself or anyone else. Your footwork is shit. Your balance is shit. You can still flash step. Surprise! But on arrival, you tend to not brake properly. Flash step requires perfect control of every single muscle, the perfect awareness of your weight and your place and position in space. The lack of symmetry is a huge fucking concern. Thank you very much. And you bump into shit. In short, you feel like shit. Also, in between setting you to duel Dave, but kicked, and being watched over by Dirk to spot the flaws, many, in your kata, Bro dueled you 3 times, hoping to trigger you don't fucking even know what. Some magical rad strider instinct for fighting maimed, maybe? Times you try to parry with your right hand? You're not sure, but you probably just need to count the katana-shaped bruises. Also, you got bitch-slapped in the nose by Smuppet Dong. It's 10 a.m. when he finally allows you to crawl away, the sun rising fast towards the zenith, and too hot already.
Okay, it'll do for now.
No, it fucking won't. Blech. But when you thump down the stairs, Jade and Terezi are making breakfast. You instantly forgive everything.
Ah, Bird,
Terezi says, without, of course, turning back.
Taste this and tell me what you think.
Milk and chocolate. How can it go wrong? You sit nearby and take the offered bowl. Sip.
I think...
Yes?
I think why the fuck did you put tomato sauce in it, Terezi? Just, dear lord, why? Tell me that.
You drink it anyway, because it's warm and sugary, and you've been up since 5 a.m. getting your ass kicked up and down the roof. It tastes like chocolate pizza. In a very odd way, it is actually not that bad. But you will never admit it.
Obviously, I haven't yet lost hope of converting you to the perfection of tomato. It's red. It goes with everything.
She nods,
concludes firmly. It is the very best vegetable. Fruit. Thing. Whoops, Jade replies through a laugh. You're mispronouncing pumpkin. Pumpkin is obviously the best vegetable fruit thing. You can make bread and pie and roasted seeds and soup and lanterns with it. What do you do with the tomato, apart from squashing it? They mock glare at each other, lips sternly pursed. Jade's eyes are dancing. Terezi's black lips quirk like a pleasing, playful alligator. Whoa there, no Clash of the Titans in my kitchen, girls. You'd level the building. At least wait until we've moved out or something. It occurs to you a bit late that in matters related to girls, you and Dave might have a type. That type can be summarized in three words. Petite, crazy, bulldozer. Though tornado might also be accurate. Devastate me harder, BB. Blech. You dive back into your choco tomato soup. Breakfast of tasteless champions. Mr. Egbert emerges from the shower with his hair still damp and newly smooth-faced. Jade gets him a cup of coffee. When do you leave, sir? Terezi asks. You have not seen this smile on her before. It seems to say, you're not sure? Something in between, you are huge and possibly worrisome, so I'll be politely wary until I figure out how to one-shot you. That's the bro look. And I like you. Can I lick your face just a tiny little bit? Please, no pressure, but come on, pretty please. So this is what restraint looks like on her. Ha 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 ha. Makes for a really funny mix. I'll say 15 minutes for breakfast, and then we'll take a taxi to the airport. We should be in the plane at noon, and at the Lalonde's by 6 or 7, provided no plane is delayed. I hope they don't lose Beck in between the two planes. It'll be a pain for him to jump in, Jade adds, mouth pursed in doubt. I hear they lose a ton of luggage. What if they put him on the wrong plane? We should have disguised him as a seeing eye dog. Terezi, of course, wants to hear all about seeing eye dogs. No, they're not telepathic or anything. Yes, they're usually Beck-sized. No, they're not usually trained as attack dogs as well, but Jade supposes they could. Bro, Terezi wants a puppy, you call blandly as he walks in. Bzz, denied, he calls back without looking, which is exactly the response you predicted and hoped for, to be honest. Ugh, dogs. Terezi makes a show of looking crushed, which is a bit unexpected, considering the guy she's joking around with is bro. Aw, but I could train it to chase down miscreants. He pauses and gives her a dubious, potentially disappointed look. You'd need that? Terezi counters with her own dubious look, mouth twisted in a vaguely miffed pout. Well, you guys are a bit lacking in dragons. I'll have to make do somehow. I'll teach you to flash step if you drop the puppy, okay? He gets himself a cup of coffee, leans his hip against the table where Mr. Egbert is sitting, quiet laughter shaking his shoulders. You can do your pouncing and rending to pieces your own self that way. Jade is giggling. Terezi hums, considering it most seriously. Very well. They shake on it. You live with lunatics! You ignore them and reach over their hands to grab a box of Lucky Charms. Munch, munch. Jade and Terezi depart. Dirk and Dave appear. You take your time. Not like you can hold your toast and butter it now, can you? And dry toast is disgusting, so... Gamzee emerges, hair a writhing Medusa. Karkat doesn't. Gamzee leaves right back. Comes back with a feebly wriggling body thrown over his shoulder, plops him down in the empty chair at the end of the counter on your right. Weren't you supposed to be the insomniac one? You wonder. Karkat blinks at you fuzzily, and then slumps over the counter in slow motion. Never mind. Coffee? Got no more night sisters to be getting your nightmare on with. Gamzee says, as he drags in a stool to sit between the two of you.
Bad dreams are all to be coming from a motherfucker's own silly pan now, aren't they, bro? That's still plenty, Karkat grouches, eyes still heavy-lidded. He feels around for the coffee pot. You shift it closer wordlessly, before he can manage to bat it into turning over in your lap. I guess I didn't have much of them yesterday, comparatively. Thanks. Duh. You crane your neck to arch an eyebrow pointedly at Dave, who just flash-stepped in. You guys are so sweet to each other, even polite and all. This is like the perfect morning after. I'd be mad flustered, yo. Karkat looks at him, baffled. Okay, I must not be awake yet, because what the fuck? What the fuck is what I'm thinking? Dude, you were snuggling my bro clone so tight, I thought he was about to pass out from lack of oxygen this morning. How the hell did that even happen? Mokara, you letting your pale bro sneak off for extramorales activities now? Now Gamzee is staring at you, and it's still mostly vague and easygoing, but there's a little spark of something really unpleasant behind that. You kicked me off the pile, asshard, Karkat says, rolling his eyes, and gives his chest a light backhanded slap. The only space left over was by the door. He just let me have the available mattress space. Oh, so you were taking advantage of his pure, trusting heart then? You cad. You snort. Because noble heart, your ass. You were mostly thinking you just wanted him to shut the hell up and let you go back to sleep. Here he was, flustered like a maiden by your advances. You weren't flustered. You were, oh shit, bonering. Also, Dave is being an ass, but you're not sure who at exactly. Dude, are you trying to embarrass me about my cuddle abilities? You drone. You can't. Don't even try. I have full confidence in my tender embrace mastery. I am the cuddle lord. Bitches come from all over the planet for a chance at mind-mad snuggles. Don't blame the poor lonely alien for wanting a piece of this action. Karkat slashes a hand down between Dave and you, looking baffled. Okay, what the fuck? You shrug. You thought I was your oddly fleshy pile this morning. No problem. You're inclined to be generous about that. Seriously. Because if you give him a hard time about using you as a teddy bear, well, he doesn't know about the pants party, but you can give yourself shit about it in your own head easily enough. And probably better than he could even. Better to just wipe the slate clean. Wow, Bird, you are so generous. A regular prince is you. Karkat stares at you for a few seconds, and then colors a little bit. I think I remember some of that. Sorry? You shrug. Gamzee is still eyeing you sideways. I told you it was cool, bro. 3 years with the Egbert Harleys, cuddle extravaganza platonic bro orgies were totally a thing. I am a bro-snuggling pro. Dave is looking dubious, eyebrows furrowed. You smile. A tiny little ominous thing. Want me to show you, Twinnie Pooh? You lean in, arm open, earnest as you can be. He jerks back. Victory! No, that's okay. Sweet, sweet victory. Karkat muffles a snicker in his coffee. Bubbles splatter drops on his face. Gamzee wipes them off with his hand before you're even done looking. Rude. Poor sorry bastard didn't get much all the cuddling with his rose sis. So motherfucking sad making I'd up and weep. Gamzee muses, eyeing Dave in a way that makes your brow furrow. You really hope he's not going Kelly whatever on Dave's ass. Just because Dave is being cranky in his general vicinity, that doesn't mean he'd want to be black right back. Oh, troll quadrants. Who can even understand the fuck out of them? Dude, Rose and Snuggly don't even belong in the same language, Dave huffs, arms crossed defensively, like he thinks you might try to cuddle bomb him anyway. You make a note to wait until his guard is down. Dadbert had fucked off for parts unknown at some point. You weren't paying attention. He comes back and he's wearing his jacket and doing up his tie, and he has his hat on.
Jade drops from the ceiling trap to the crawl space, neat little dress well pressed, her hair braided back in a heavy rope that swings behind her. She whistles for Beck. Mr. Egbert walks up to you. Oh, no, just a Carcat and Gamzee. We'll be going now, children. I will call you when we get to Mrs. Lalonde's place. You don't have to, Carcat replies, but he sounds weirdly reluctant. It's not that long. Mr. Egbert smiles, repeats, gently stubborn, I will call you. He turns back to send Bro a long, heavy look that leaves you totally baffled. Bro shrugs one shoulder, the other one propped up against the door jamb to the corridor.
No worries. I'll treat him better than my own.
Egbert quirks a reluctantly amused smile. That seems a bit excessive.
Spoiler, Dirk says from his computer. You don't want him to treat them exactly like his own.
He rubs pointedly at his bruised elbow. Mr. Egbert chortles. You watch him turn around to hug Gamzee, who melts and nudges the base of his horn against his skull, dislodging the hat. And then Carcat, who's oddly tense and maybe a bit misty-eyed. Seriously, what the fuck? Jade is making the rounds, hugging her way clockwise around the room. You protest. Harley, it's just a couple of days. But nope, you get your hug too.
Sigh.
You almost miss Carcat's. Bye, Dad. You don't miss Mr. Egbert's. Goodbye, son. Or the disturbing tenderness on his face. Or the way Gamzee's grinning. It's almost fucking cute. Murder Creep, the fuzz-brained, has no business being cute. You say to no one as they follow Mr. Egbert to the door, and watch him and Jade leave, and wave their pressed handkerchiefs and weep or whatever. Door closed. Terezi draws closer to the other trolls, who are now standing with their backs to the door, eyeing the Strider party like you guys are about to descend on them like a mass of blonde, impeccably classy slaughter fiends. She punches Carcat's arm, friendly, snorts at Gamzee in a way that makes his brow furrow and his back unslouch a bit. Then Bro lets out this tiny little quiet sigh and says,
I'd have to be pretty stupid to cross that man, you know.
The fuck? You stare. They're staring at Bro so intensely, it's, wow, just weird. You glance at Dave in case it's a troll thing. He's the one who lived with them for years. You don't know much more than jack shit about any aliens. But he's just watching the proceedings, mouth a perfectly neutral, practiced line.
Had Dad's that much of a motherfucking badass?
Gamzee asks. Bro quirks him a faint smile.
That, and I want to tap Dad ass. Not gonna ruin my chances of that, yeah?
You groan out loud. Jesus fuck, Bro. We don't need to hear it. For the last time, he's shacking up with Roxy's older self. You are not breaking my Moirail's double's heart. Boff the other one.
Lil Janie's dad? The Crocker one?
Bro answers Dirk with a musing little hmm. You want to whimper.
I guess they are the closest thing to identical we've got.
You do not know what you find the wrongest in this conversation. Dirk randomly borrowing troll terms for his relationships is one thing that doesn't bother you much, seeing how he grew up in a future where that was pretty much the only culture he knew in real time. The implication that it isn't even the first time they've talked about boffing John's dad, though, now that one ranks pretty close to the top. Blue ribbon of fucked upness goes to the fact that this conversation is even happening, though. Jane's dad's name is, you think, Phil. John's is Paul. But you wonder if that's the same way you remember both that Bro is secretly named Bert, and that when you were looking for his ID when you were 10 years old, it used to say Dirk. Meanwhile, you had to go to the city hall yourself to fix the administrative mistake that had all your papers made to Dave Sprite. Seriously, two twins both named Dave? Did Bro look like the kind of weirdo douche who'd do that to his kids? Honestly.
Not too honestly. Well, you guys are still Crocker's nephews, Bro is saying. He'd get pissed off by proxy. His what now? You say, before you've thought twice. Ugh, which one is nephews again? I can't make heads or tails of that shit, Carcat protests, running a hand through his messy fringe. Brother's children, Bro explains, with surprising patience and an even more surprising lack of fuckery. You're his nephews, he's your uncle. Barring the existence of a more direct ancestor, a grandparent, he's the one who'd get saddled with you guys and John if Egbert kicked it tomorrow.
Carcat makes an ooh face, like the thought that there might be a next step in the chain of custody never ever crossed his mind.
No, okay, what? You say again, because seriously. Terezi turns in your direction, mouth pursed.
You didn't know? Mr. Egbert has agreed to become Carcat and Gamzee's Lucis. That's legal, right?
Terezi, babe, you've asked me 10 times. You've checked the internet and all that shit, Dave says with a sigh. Why you gotta ask him for confirmation? He's not gonna tell you anything I didn't.
You're just sitting there, blinking, personally. You look over at Dirk, sitting by the computer, but both his eyebrows are a little visible over his shades, which indicates pretty clearly that it's news to him as well.
You guys don't have a legal identity, so I don't know if legal is the word, Dirk says. But it's what I hear as well. He shrugs, nods his head meaningfully towards Bro. Then again, in biological relationships, I don't know how we'd make it closer, so...
Okay. Bro knows. Dave apparently knows. Neither of them told you.
Okay, it's not exactly personally relevant. And besides, all Striders are closed-mouthed bastards about personal information.
Is it wrong to miss how, with John and Jade, you never really had to wonder?
John didn't tell you. Granted, it's been 2 days and he's been busy packing, but how long would it have taken now? By the way, I have 2 new alien brothers. Isn't that cool? But nope, jack shit.
You don't even care if Mr. Egbert wants to become a troll nanny or what the fuck ever. It's his choice, and everyone you've seen today seems okay with it.
It stings more how John didn't tell you.
Did he tell Dave?
Something that must have had at least some impact on him.
So should we make an announcement board, or were Dirk and I the last two not to know?
Pretty much. Carcat answers casually. You scowl. You can't help it. He quirks his eyebrows at you.
Did that sound a little bitter, or do I need my auditory clogs cleaned?
He's loud enough, even with his indoor voice. You glower back.
Fuck. Need a sidestep. Dude, it's vital that I know if I've just become ex-cousins-in-law with a juggalo, okay? That's too intricate a human family problem for your little troll-thinky head-flesh to handle. I know, but seriously.
It's think-sponge, shit-slurp.
He moves a little closer to you, fingers sort of tucked at the tips in his pockets instead of all the way in. Pretend relaxed. You wonder at that a bit. What the heck is the matter with trolls, you think? That they react to being house guests like they've been parachuted into enemy territory. Terezi hit it better, but that didn't make it not there.
John didn't tell Jade either, if that helps, he adds, eyebrows furrowed like he wonders why you're such a whiny ass lord. I made a memo about it, and then Dad took it over and erased it, and Solix posted fucking screenshots everywhere. How did you not see it? You should have joined group chats more often, see? The blame rests solely on your own dumb antisocial self.
Your eyes twitch. Were you really so fucking transparent that even this guy you barely know could tell what really got wedged up your ass sideways? Only he does know you. Or, almost. He knows Dave.
Some days you kind of hate everyone who does. Dirk can stay, you suppose. He met you both roughly at the same time, and he's weirdly good at keeping you two separate. But some days, you're so tempted to invite the rest of the world to kindly dance their way to the west through a resplendent field of fuck-off roses. The screenshots were especially magnificent, Dave tells you, like he thinks it helps. The tool. I can forward them to you if you want. Shit was almost embarrassingly tender. Dirk twitches. Don't you dare use that word. It is anathema, barred from fucking civilized discourse for the next 15 eons at the very least. I'm serious. Tender? Dave repeats, mildly baffled. Dirk twitches again. Tender? That's it. You, me, and the roof have a bro date. The time is now. Bring it, bro. Why are you all such basket cases? Carcat concludes. Terezi snickers and elbows Gamzee pointedly in the ribs before jogging to Dave, who's attempting to navigate without tripping to the door while also trying to keep a staring contest with Dirk going. Through shades. You don't get how you are even the same person as this guy. God knows you are never such an embarrassment. Ill-advised radio tower joystick playing incidents notwithstanding. Bro watches it all from start to finish, and it's only now that four people have left. Gamzee trailed Terezi and Dave with a weird, grating growl in his throat, that you even remember he's here. Guy's a ninja of the highest order, the way he just erases his presence somehow, and you don't even remember he's standing there in plain fucking sight. You can feel yourself flushing. You get up, gather as much shit as you can in one hand, and see about cleaning up your spot at the breakfast table, looking too productively busy to nag. After a few seconds, Carcat draws closer to help you gather things. It's all you can do not to growl at him. I ate too, shit slurp, he reminds you with a roll of his eyes, and steals the sponge from the sink before you can get back to it. Besides, that place is such a pigsty, I'm not ready to trust any of you assholes to take a stab at sanitary and do anything but stick yourselves in the locomotion fronds and catch gangrene and die. Well, whatever. Gathering crumbs is a two-handed job. You put away the milk and butter and meat and the coffee stuff, and you pretend you don't notice the way he keeps glancing nervously back at the doorway where Bro was only a second ago.